Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Turn to somebody and say, we're here for the word. God's promise, God's word is the primary of our life. That's what we put above everything. Man, so much so that the Bible says, let every man be a liar, but the word of God be the truth. And that's strong statements there. That's a strong sentiment. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 4 just for a minute, just to kind of set the stage for the message tonight. And I'm going to make a strong point. But Ephesians 4, Paul is laying it out. And he just says, look, and he's talking about gifts that God gives to men. And we're thinking about gifts are a car or a new house or a new pair of shoes but the gifts that God gives to us is he gives gifts himself. He gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. See, if you've got a pastoral gift on your life, there's a teaching gift that's attached to that. Okay? But here's the important part of this, okay? That fivefold ministry is important for you to know. But the most important part of that is the why, okay? It's always about the why. Man, if the why's big enough, the what and the where and the who is just going to fall into place. But the why, okay? For the equipping of the saints. And you're thinking, okay, I'm here today. I'm sitting under a gift that God gave me, a ministry gift. Okay, why? For the equipping of the saints. Now listen, for the work of the ministry. You may be old school thinking, man, I'm leaving because, man, they sent some lay ministers. We don't have lay ministers in this church. I don't know what that term is. It's not scriptural. Okay, they sent out some lay minister and not the pastor. Let me just tell you something. I want to send somebody that's full of God's word and it's anointed by the Holy Spirit. I want to send somebody that's full of God that can help you get out of that hospital bed. But he's given these gifts. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now listen to this. Till we all, and here's the key here. This is what Paul's doing here is he's defining a win. Okay, what's a win in your life? Till we all come to what? The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. See, in that word knowledge there, how many guys have your Bibles? How many guys are taking notes tonight? Let me see your hands. Okay, it's an intimate knowledge. It isn't that we know of Jesus. It's not that we know about Jesus. It's that we intimately know him. And let me tell you, it's the same word, and this is pretty graphic, but it's the same word that Joseph knew not Mary, yet she conceived. It's that intimate a knowing. Okay, so till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge or the intimate knowledge of the Son of God. See, but it's till we all come. The whole idea of this is that we're connected in this. See, our role, how many of you guys are ministers in this church? Can I see your hands? Okay, I just told you, lay ministry is not scriptural. So if you're a member of this church, if you're a part of this church, if you've bought in, if I'm not here trying to sell you on this, but you're sold, can I see your hands? Okay, that's pivotal. That's a key. So the next time somebody asks you that, it's not a trick question. You're commissioned and there's a mandate on your life. And here's the deal. Why? Because we've all got to equip the saints. We've all got to come to the intimate knowledge of the Son of God. Now listen. But here's the important thing, to gather and connect people. See, we're good at drawing a crowd. We've got motorcycle rallies. We've got the nightmare. We've got all kinds of stuff that we do. We have giveaways, all kinds of things, okay? We can draw a crowd. We can gather people. But the key is the gathering in the kingdom isn't official until people are connected. See, it's funny. I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, man, how come I get so many calls to serve in the church. Let me tell you, it's a bad day if you're going to a church and they're not calling you to serve. I'm just telling you. And it's like, well, I just feel like I'm getting used. No, you are. let me just help you. We're here to use you. Why? Because it's God's heart to use you. What did Elijah say? He overheard God saying, who will I send? Who will go for me? And he overheard this from God. And he said, here I am, God, use me. See, so that phone call is just God calling, just you overhearing God saying, who will I send and who will go for me? Man, here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, send me, use me, God. Man, I want God to use me on this earth, don't you? Man, every day of my life, till we all come to the unity of faith. But then it says this, to a perfect man. Let me tell you, when God sees us as perfect when we're unified. Now listen, in the intimate knowledge of his son. See, it's interesting, but God wants to use the local church. I'll tell you what, I probably could take more issue with that than y'all. I know what it takes to organize that, to administrate that, to inspire that, to motivate that, to recruit for that. Man, we get up and beg people. Let me tell you something. If you had a true revelation of Ephesians 4, I'm telling you, you would move heaven and earth to be an intern at this church. I'm just telling you. No matter how old you are, I sat next to a man at Bible school that was 75 years old. I got saved 6 weeks before, when I had this conversation, I'd gotten saved 6 weeks before that. But 3 months before that, he retired from a pastorate of a Baptist church, and they gave him a wooden rocking chair for his front porch. They took that rocking chair to his front porch, and he said the moment he sat on it, God spoke to him and said, okay, are you ready for me to use you now? He's like, God, I just retired. 3 months after that, he's at Bible school with me. I'd been a Christian 6 weeks. He'd been in ministry for over 50 years. He said, I had done so much that I thought that was God's will, I thought I was finished. And God looked out at me and he said, hey, are you ready to start serving me now? Are you ready for the work that I've called you to? Man, I was stunned by it. He helped me. Let me tell you, we sat together for the first month. He helped me find books in the Bible because I had to go to the index to find it. Somebody get up to speak and they'd say, okay, turn to Ezekiel. I'd have to go to the index to find it. Otherwise, I'm leafing through it. And I'll tell you what, the Bible's a big book. Man, there's 66 books within that book. And man, what are the chances of me finding it that time? I'd been a Christian 6 weeks. So you know what? He'd help me and I'd help him because if we sat on the right side of the auditorium and he was deaf in his left ear. So I'd have to sit beside him and repeat things, but he helped find scripture for me in the Word. See, let me just tell you something. You'll say, well, it's not that big a deal that I'm sitting by somebody. It's not that big a deal. Really? I'm talking about 38 years later, I'm talking about this old Baptist preacher. I hadn't talked to him in 38 years. But let me tell you something, it impacted my life, and that's what this is about. This is about us coming to the unity of the faith. You know what? 2 weeks ago, we had a group of pastors here and had a round table, and that was just Q&A. They just asked me 50 questions. And then just yesterday, Jason Law hosted a team of pastors from this area, African-American pastors and white pastors. There's one Hispanic pastor. We had these guys in, and let me tell you, man, it's all about the unity of the faith and the intimate knowledge of the Son of God. Otherwise, we're just flapping our gums to get racial reconciliation or racial unity. It's not going to happen without the Spirit of God in the middle of it. But see, we have to understand this, that this is pivotal in our lives now. This is why you are breathing. Do you understand that? If you're wondering why you're breathing to come to the unity of the body of Christ. That's why you're breathing. And so much so that Paul writes, it says, to a perfect man. Man, if you're in unity in your marriage, it's a perfect marriage. People say, man, do you have a perfect marriage? I'd say, yes, I do, because we're in unity. But let me tell you this, a little bit of strife is going to wreck the whole thing. I was talking to Elder Scott Houston. That's what Taylor calls him. So, but I was talking to my friend Scott today. He said, man, you got a good word for us? And I started talking to him about it. And I started talking about strife. And I said, you know, there's two guys that were big relationships in my life that we'd had conversations. One of them said, oh my gosh, I've got, and Scott even brought this up. He said, I remember a guy, and we didn't say any names. And we talked about the strife that was in his life, and I was wrecking things. One guy came up and said, man, there's strife in every area in my life. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Man, turn your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Why? Because men are going to trick you. Because the prince of the power of the air is going to toss you around like a little kid with winds of doctrine. James 3, verse 13. Let me tell you, there's wisdom out there for us to gain, but there's a confliction. There's worldly, or what really honestly, do you mind if I'm honest here? Demonic wisdom, and then there's godly wisdom. And that's the tension. That's the contention that we have. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Directed strength of wisdom, okay? But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil work are there. Another translation says where there's strife and envy, where there's self-seeking, that's what strife is. You want to know what brings strife into a home, what brings strife into a situation? It's self-seeking. And the Bible says there's every evil work. The Greek, let me tell you, in the Greek, it's like a spiritual raping that happens. Pastor Sandy and I were at a pastor's conference years and years ago. Before we even moved back to, in the 80s, we went to this. And it was a Church of the Way with Jack Hayford. And they got up. Who was speaking with him that night? There was another guest speaker, and I forget. I'll remember. But they got up, and they said, if there's strife in your home, we want you to stand. And it's like 2,500 pastors and wives that are there. And we're sitting up in the balcony. Weren't we up in the balcony, Sandy? We were up in the second tier of seats. And all these people stood. And we're sitting there, and I kind of felt a little guilty. I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe we should be standing. All these other people are standing. And we're young. I wasn't even 30 yet. And were you 30 yet, Sandy? Or you're a little older than me, aren't you? You're not? You're younger. But we were in our 20s, and I'm sitting there probably like you guys. I didn't have like a ball cap on backwards, and I was probably clean shaven. But anyway, So we're sitting there, and all these people, it was like we were the only ones sitting. And I turned to Sandy and I said, do you think we should stand? This is awkward. And so we started searching our heart out. It's like, do we have strife in our marriage, or strife in our home? And she goes, I don't think so, but I think we could probably conjure some up here in the next minute so we could stand with everyone else. But we didn't stand, but everyone's standing. And I said, I want you to look at your spouse. And so I'm watching all these men, and I'm looking at Sandy, and the next thing he said was, man, when you're in strife with your spouse, it's like a demon is violently raping her. Okay, that's a bad day. But honestly, that's what's depicted in the word here. See, strife's not something we play around with. See, this is within the series of freedom. Okay? And the title of this is Till We All. Man, God just doesn't want that. Man, the ideal is strong marriages, but how you get there is a strifeless marriage. And what's that strife? It's not that you're not self-seeking in your heart. Don't boast and lie against the truth. It's wisdom. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in every evil thing, that violent raping. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. You don't have to always, this is for a lot of you girls in here. You don't have to always be right. God hadn't put you on this earth to bring correction to your husband every day. See, and understand, I want to get in your kitchen. I normally pick on men. Okay, but I want that strifeless home so you can have a strong, healthy, happy marriage. And let me tell you, if you're self-seeking, it's not going to happen. But willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, and this is the key. We're here to make peace in our lives, to bring peace. Here's what the Bible says. I'll write this down. Word for word, verbatim, write this down. With as much as is within you, live at peace with all men. It's not going to be on the screen. This is something. This is Holy Spirit led right here. With as much as is within you, live at peace with all men. Let me tell you, this is a hurdle for me. But I'll tell you what I've become as a Christian. I've become a hurdler, man. Anybody with me on that? Anybody else have some obstacles in your lane of life? Man, I want to win this race. Anybody else want to win? How many guys want to lose in life? No way. How many guys want to win in life? Let me see your hands. Man, you got to learn to hurdle. There's going to be obstacles in your lane. Man, when I come up to an obstacle, it can't stop me. Man, Sandy, I can't stop for a day. Can you? I can't stop and tap out for a day. You can't do that. Man, the call of God keeps driving. The call of God keeps ministering. The call of God's still there in your life. Woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Man, there's a fire that's burning the inside of me. I stop and I take a day. I take a week. I take a month. I'm going to take a month sabbatical from this. No, let me help you. What? Jesus is my sabbatical. That's what the word says. Doesn't say honor a day. Man, there's so many people that'll say, well, you know what, man, you're going against God's word where you got to honor the Sabbath. Well, why did Jesus say he's our Sabbath? He said, look, I'm your Sabbath. Man, don't honor a day. I'm not saying don't take a day off, but I'm saying that Jesus becomes our rest. Jesus becomes our fulfillment. See, that's what this is all about. So much so, in John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Let me tell you, that's position A. Write that down in your notes. Position A in my life is I'm a disciple. And you'll say, well, you know, what do I have to do to be a disciple? It's real easy. It's real easy. We have to abide in his word. I abide in his word. I abide in the vine. I am a branch. I have no life without that vine. I have no life. I have no vision. I have no mission. I have no strategy without that vine. I can't do it the way I've always done it. I can't do it the way I've been trained to do it. The weapons of my warfare aren't the way I've been trained to use those weapons. My weapons are of God now, and they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Man, there's so many people that I know that have strongholds that are operating in their life just because that's the way it's always been. You don't have to live by the way it's always been anymore. Man, I've got a stronghold. I just can't quit drinking. I just can't quit smoking. I just can't quit gambling. I just can't quit whatever. I can't quit checking out women. I can't quit flirting with men. I can't quit. Let me just tell you something. That's a strong. Anything in your life that you can't quit doing is a stronghold. That's what it is. But see, there are key words in the kingdom. Key things, you're an intern here. You've got to have an understanding of, write this down, of authority. You have to have an understanding of honor. You have to have an understanding of faith and grace. You have to have an understanding of truth. See, that's just five simple words. You get an understanding. Can you have an understanding of five simple words? Some of you guys might say, man, I've just got the equivalent of an eighth grade education. Okay, forget what your education is. Can you have an understanding, a working understanding of authority, of honor? Can you? It is this simple. Of faith and grace. Can you have an understanding of truth? See, it's just those five words. Man, what if we spent a year on those five words? How strong would we be? Man, do you understand that all disease is an outside authority trying to hover over your life? That's all disease is. Poverty. How many of you guys have ever experienced poverty? Can I see your hands? Do you know all that is? An authority that tries to hover over you. That's all it is. Government policies, they're not going to break poverty. Let me tell you what's going to break poverty: the anointing of the Holy Spirit, an understanding of prosperity. Do you know all prosperity is peace? Do you know all poverty is a lack of peace? That's all it is. Man, you can't have peace if you're without. You're always battling. You're always fighting. You're always trying to get that edge. You're always trying to work an angle. Do you understand? You live a prosperous life. You don't have to work angles anymore. You don't have to always be checking your back anymore. You know why? You live a prosperous life. God becomes your rear guard. Find out what the Word says about this stuff. Abide in His Word. Abide in His Word. What does that say again? Go back to John 8:31. What does it say again? Abide in His Word. Abide in His Word. Man, and then what? You'll be my disciples. And let me tell you, what that disciple is, that disciple now is position A. 100% position A. Man, where do you want to be? I want to be a believer. I want to be a disciple. That's where I want to be. That's who I want to be. Man, you want to understand that what that does is, as a disciple, it conditions us for the kingdom, and it deconditions us for the world. Now I'm not looking for to the world for my comfort. Man, that's something right there. If we quit looking at the world for our comfort, for our rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, true rest." It's not like you're going to get in the world. It's going to be a rest that really blesses you. Man, it's not just going to, it's not, see, what'd he say? He said, look, man, God's going to send, I must go. It's to your advantage that I go, because God's going to send, listen, another comforter. And you know, those disciples, they probably weren't sitting there thinking, man, you've been comforting me. No, it's that, you know what? I get my tail whipped about every time I'm with you. Man, associating with Jesus wasn't a worldly comfort for Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was snake bit. It's all of that. Now turn your Bibles to James 4. James 4. Because, and let me just tell you, fear and pride and doubt and unbelief produce strife. Because it goes against the will of God in your life. It becomes self-seeking. We're going to look at the B side of verse 2. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 for you. We'll get to 2 and 3 where I want to be. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members within you? You lust and you don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Now here's where it's going to start for you. Yet you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, this right here should have been taught initially with the faith message in your life. This is what derailed the original faith message that I believe to be the strongest doctrine on the planet. But it was derailed because the Bible says, man, you have what you say. God, I'm just believing you for a new Cadillac. Remember that in the 70s and 80s? It wasn't about BMWs or Mercedes or Porsches or Infinities. It was about a Cadillac. I believe God for a new Lincoln. Now, I could go for a suicide door Lincoln. It'd be pretty cool, but it would probably be God, but I don't think that's what they were talking about. But see, we have to understand that why? Because you ask amiss. Why? Because you're asking for your own pleasures. God wants you to have His best, and that's to be able to reach the world. That's what the best is. See, too many people are believing God for things that are going to pull them out of church. Things that they could replace church on the weekend with that pleasure, with that hobby, with that, I'm gonna stop there. I'm going to let you figure it out on your own. But you have not. We miss out on receiving God's promises because we're bound in pride or fear or pleasures. And if most of the needs of our life are probably pleasurable, they're probably comfortable. They're not the true needs that are in our life. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a couple of the guys on staff today, and I thought about this, and they said, well, people raise their kids differently now than they did a generation or two ago. If you guys that are young parents right now, if you think about it, people had to raise their kids, especially their boys. They had to raise their boys and their young men to be prepared for the military. So it was yes, sir, and no, sir, and look you in the eye, and fair, firm, and friendly handshakes, and your word is your bond, and you start a job, you got to finish it. You don't just cut and run in the middle of the battle because it's getting uncomfortable. See, that's how you had to raise kids, because those boys, a lot of times, were going to go into the military. Well, now, it might not be the case that they're going in the military. Now, when I hear a young man that's 18 or 19 or 20 or in college, and then they enlist in the military, I'm like, oh my gosh. It kind of stuns me a little bit. And I'm instantly proud of them for making that decision. But it's because a few generations ago, and I think there's something to that. I think there's something that if we don't have agriculture, everybody that plays gets a trophy. Man, little kids play for a ring now for winning a tournament, not a state championship or a national championship, but all that stuff. And all that stuff's great. Let's celebrate our kids. But I'm here to tell you, man, that's short-lived. Man, we raise our kids. What does the Bible talk about? It talks about athletics, where it talks about boxing and wrestling, and it talks about military terms like combat. It talks about agricultural terms where it's work, where there's, man, we work while the sun's shining, because, man, there's a day coming where no man can work where the sun's not shining. Man, the Bible talks about building your barn before you build your house, where everybody, man, young people are thinking now, man, I got to get a house, and I've got to get my stuff, and I've got to have my time off, and I've got to have my trips, and it's like, I get all that. But I'm telling you, the day's coming where, man, that fight of faith. We talk about how people say, man, how's your walk? How's your journey? And we're all on a journey. How's your walk? It's like, oh, it's a fight. It's a fight of faith. Man, you look at the Fishers. A couple years ago, man, I had a heart attack. And then his wife just got to say, you know, we rarely see this, but it self-aborted. Here, you got a tumor. They just took it out. He's fine. Why? I believe they just trusted God. Watched them. I watched them walk through that. No, what happened? She'd have a thought, and what'd she have to do? She had to counter that thought with God's word. Are you prepared to counter the temptations and the thoughts that you have in your life with God's word? That's a disciple. And how do you become a disciple? You abide in his word. But it's till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know what? You might sit there and think, well, Pastor, why are you the leader? I think that a lot. I have that very same question a lot. I don't have those days where it's like I say, oh God, if this cup could but pass for me, from me. But I have similar thoughts. Because you want to make everything fair, except we're held to a stricter standard, so it's not fair. There's things you can allow yourself to do that you wouldn't allow me to do, or Pastor Sandy to do. So we have to understand that. We have to see that. Why? Because we're disciples. Oh God, that we're disciples. Okay, let's just live in his word. Let's not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine like little ragdoll children. Man, we're fighters, we're warriors, we're winners. We're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. How about this? Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.